Where is the story pole now, and what will become of it?
Well, the story pole is in safekeeping. It is in a warehouse out on West First Avenue. It's the warehouse that it has been stored in during the wintertime, beginning in 2012 when we initially obtained it. And it's still there. And in terms of what's going to become with it now, well, that's an ongoing question. I think we're working hard at getting a lot of input on what we should do moving forward. It's interesting, a lot of people have said that that pole, that story pole, has been imbibed with a lot of spirit, and that in many ways it's going to determine where it ends up. So that may also be part of the conversation at some point.
So the story pole itself may decide where its eventual destination is.
I think it's influencing a lot of things, to be honest.
Was there much inquiry from visitors and OCF goers about the story pole this most recent event?
Yes, there was. And we were, although the story pole was not permitted to be erected this year, we had previously obtained through various conditions the right to build the pavilion, which you saw when you were visiting out there this year. And that pavilion was, part of that construction was an armature, a steel armature, that the story pole was going to be attached to. And we were able to go ahead and move forward with the construction of that pavilion, even though we knew that the pole wasn't going to go up. And we did that because, we really believed that there's a need for ongoing conversation about this. And, it's part of a larger subject than just this pole or just the Oregon Country Fair. Certainly consciousness about cultural appropriation and what it is and what it means is an active conversation around our country. And this project became a focus for that. So we felt it was important to create a space where people had an opportunity to have this discussion. And we tried to build a space that that provided for that and invited people to come and write comments. And we staffed that pavilion throughout the fair and gave people an opportunity to express their points of view about the poll.
Do you feel, George, that the discussion has been largely productive?
I think it's been very productive. We've really learned a lot. The landscape has changed during the 5 years that this project has been in motion. And we continue to learn and respond to the things that we're hearing and make changes. So I think it was very important that this discussion happen, and I think it's very important that it continue to happen. I don't think that the whole question is settled by any means.
The expectation from last year, of course, was that the story pole would be finished and officially installed and unveiled at this year's event. Were people generally sad, relieved, happy, confused at the decision not to set up the story pole?
We got reactions, across that entire spectrum. I would say that if I had to pick the most common, it was one of surprise and of disappointment that the pole hadn't gone up. Having been in motion for such a long period of time, and a surprising number of people tracked it through the Fair Family News and other publications and online, there was a lot of surprise at the decision that the pole wasn't going up.
Some people have suggested that if a similar project is ever pursued again, that Ritz Sauna and Showers incorporate the input and skill of Native American artists, carvers, scholars. Is that something that your team might consider?
Oh, absolutely. And, we're continuing to have those conversations today. And I think, as I've tried to make clear in this conversation, is that, we moved forward at a time thinking that we were in compliance with the necessary requirements to put that pole up. And in addition to that, we actively sought the participation of the broader community in the creation of the pole. We had both Native and non-Native individuals, people of all ages and types, work on the pole. It was very encouraged. The idea of the pole was that it was a story about the Ritz. And things changed in relationship to that story as the pole was under construction. You mentioned the plane accident that took the lives of four Oregon Country Fair participants, two of whom were people very involved with the sauna. And in fact, one of the men, Aaron Noble, his father, helped facilitate the obtaining of the pole originally in 2012. And the pole arrived in April of that year, and in June of that year, we had the plane accident that took those four lives. And so suddenly the pole also became a place to memorialize in some ways, you know, that event. Aaron's father, you know, carved a jaguar on the pole, which had been Aaron's totem, and other individuals made special marks on the pole in relationship to those memories. So the pole, you know, very much so is an ongoing, you know, conversation, and we would, you know, we would, I think, certainly reach out in a different way to perhaps, you know, Native artists of the North Coast as we began into this project. Were we to do it again, I think we would certainly do that. And we are now continuing to engage with and look for opportunities to have the conversation with Native tribes about how, you know, we might change and how things might be done differently, both going forward and changes about the art that exists there today.
One aspect of the story, Polton, was that it was in part a memorialization of several of the Ritz Sauna and Showers team that died in that plane crash. Are there other plans from your group to honor the memory of these people?
We are in discussion about that, and I think the answer is yes. You know, we are looking for other ways to do that. We haven't decided on, you know, the appropriate form for that so far, but you know, it is something that we are working on.
How was the event this year as far as Oregon Country Fair for your organization and for your facility?
I think the fair went, quite well for the facility. You know, there certainly was this backdrop of suspense, you know, around, you know, were there going to be active protests, were there going to be boycotts. So there was a lot of concern about that. A number of individuals were invited to come to the fair this year that had been at Standing Rock. And so this conversation about the story pole and art and culture was active at the fair. I had an opportunity to be invited down to the front porch to speak following the presentation by the folks from Standing Rock. And you know, in that conversation, I wanted to really talk about what the Ritz Sauna and Showers is all about. And it's really not all about the story pole or all about the Native art. You know, really, we're about creating and inviting and welcoming bathing experience for everyone. And we feel very much so in service to the broader community and that effort. And that we have a history, a long history of adapting and of changing to new circumstances, to new challenges, and to new input. You know, in 1983, when Emory Blackwell, a man with cerebral palsy, arrived at the Ritz Sauna and Showers in his wheelchair, there was no way for him to get in. We had to go out and physically carry him into the facility and into the sauna. And so we made a commitment at that time that we were going to make the sauna accessible. And later we came to realize that women didn't always want to necessarily sauna with men. And so we made a time that was women's only so that they could have that experience. We knew that there were people that weren't interested in open-air bathing. And we created a wing of the showers and saunas that were private showers. People with different kinds of disabilities, members of our crew that wanted to continue to participate, you know, people with autism, people with sensory processing issues, you know, we began to take into consideration what it was that made it possible for them to be there and to feel comfortable in that space and to actively participate. And now we're addressing a lot of issues around aging and how do we continue to support people being able to come and use that facility. So we're really all about finding ways to include as many people as possible. And you know, one of the new challenges that's been presented to us now is this idea that there are people that are put off by the art and that they really do experience significant trauma and other issues related to that. And we responded to that. You know, we are listening. We took down our smokestack, which was in fact a tatamic stack. We changed the design on our T-shirts, moving away from a 27-year history of North Coast design in our shirts. We changed the coin, moving again away from things that were North Coast. We changed the art in some of the public park areas. So we're listening and we're responding, and we continue to want to do that. You know, we've heard Native voices on both sides of this question, and we've got over 500 written comments at our kiosk. And so, you know, this conversation is really important, and it's really important that it continue to go forward. And our goal, as I stated at the front porch, is to, certainly we apologize for any hurt that has taken place as a result of anything that we've done at Sauna, and that we're listening and that we're open to change, and that we really do need some help understanding more things about the boundary. I mean, I think that the history of the changing ideas, and particularly in relationship to the art of the North Coast, is an active conversation that's been going on for a long time. And, being able to have that conversation with one another that begins from a platform of mutual respect, I think, is the most critical part. You can't get very far if you start out calling each other names or relying on stereotypes or, any of those kinds of things that kill conversations. And so we're really, actively involved in learning and listening and open to change.
Lastly, George, are there any other initiatives that may be going on for Ritson as far as this kind of ongoing transition, if you will, as you were talking about with the art and kind of revisiting aspects of that and listening to the community? Are there any other new ventures or any kind of new design ideas, anything at all that you see happening to Ritson and Showers in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I certainly hope that we continue to be facility for the next 5 to 10 years. We've been working at grooming the next generation of folks to take over the reins, if you will, of that operation. We've gone through some changes, and not just in relationship to the art, but who are our patrons? What are people expecting? So the sauna at nighttime has become more of a music venue. And, some people really appreciate that, and other people feel that something's been lost, from the more quiet and chanting type environment that had been there for many years. So we're thinking about, creating spaces that, again, create opportunity for people to have that quieter aspect at the sauna and showers. So, I guess continuing to find more ways to welcome people and to create an opportunity for everyone to, have a safe experience there, and we're all about breaking down a lot of stereotypes, things from, body image to, what are people really, what are we all about? What is our humanity? What is our shared humanity? And how do we tap into that is really a goal. The three values that we have, that we hold at the sauna, at Ritzar and Saunas, is a value of tolerance, a value of inclusivity, and a value of diversity. And every decision that we make, we ask ourselves, are we staying true to those values?
George Braddock, was there anything else that you wanted to add, anything I haven't asked you yet, or any other information you'd like to share before I close tape?
I would just say that in terms of a little bit of history, the decisions that were made and the conditions that were required for us to move forward in the completion of the poll and the standing of the poll, we did everything that we knew was necessary to do that. And that process really happened in a very democratic way. And it's sad to me that at the very end, when the decision was made that the poll wasn't going to go up, that there wasn't more conversation about that all of the players with a stake in the game, and particularly those of us with the Ritz, Sauna, and Showers, really weren't invited to the table to have that very critical decision. And so when suddenly we realized in May that we weren't going to be able to put the poll up, I think that could have been done better. And I think the Country Fair needs to work harder at being more inclusive in that kind of decision-making process.
George Braddock, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.